Because Krishna states in the Gita, several different things about the material realm which we are in right now. First of all, he says, Rama Bhukana Lava Banava Jina Arjuna Rama Bhaja Kantya Pura Janamana Vijayate. He says, from the highest planet to the lowest planet, and of course he makes reference to the highest planet being a planet called Brahmaloka, which is the topmost planet of this universe, to the lowest planet, and the lowest planet is like Pataloka, all are places of misery. And why are they places of misery? Because repeated birth and death are placed there. And then Krishna answers the question of how to become happy. He says, the one who comes to my abode, Mama Bhaja Kondiya, Puraja Mana Vijayate, he never takes birth again. And another verse states, Ukalam Ashashvata. This material realm is a misery, is a world of misery and temper. And then also we find there's reference to the threefold miseries. Adiatmic, adibodhic, and adidaivic. Miseries from the body and mind, miseries from other living entities, and miseries from weather, too hot, too cold, or something to do with the material nature, like global warming or something like that. So these are called the threefold miseries. Adiatmic, adibodhic, and adidaivic. So we're confronted with quite a challenge. Now, first of all, before we ask the question of how to deal with that challenge, we're going to ask the question of why it's like that. Why is this realm, this material world, this place where we live in, so designed? And it is designed. It didn't happen by chance. It's not like scientists say sometimes that everything came about by chance, life developed by chance, and everything is just like the chance interactions of different particles. But, so it was designed. Why is it like that? I mean, why can't we have a world that's no one dies, no one gets sick, no one fights, everyone loves each other? Sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? Why can't we have a world like that? And why did Krishna, God, design it like this? Why did God design a world where we have to get old? Terrible, isn't it? I mean, you young people, don't worry about it. You won't get old, hopefully. But I confront this fact every day. Old. It was like I was in a temple in India. I was visiting deities who were very old. And I was explaining to the people, I was taking a tour group around, that these are the Puran deities, the original deities, the older deities. And the Pujari turned around and said, Maharaj, you are Puran. You understand? Of course, he was joking, but I understood. He was telling the truth, too. So I was thinking, how can I get back my youth again? I had so much energy. I was a devotee when I was joined up with Sri Conscious Movement. I was 21 years old. So much energy. Looked youthful. Everything like that. So anyway, so the world is designed like that. It's like something called a planned obsolescence. Just like if you buy a phone, let's say you buy an iPhone or some expensive phone, it's planned to break down after some time. Why? Because the phone makers will not make any money if it doesn't break down. Or it's planned to go out. So let's say you ladies, you buy a nice dress or style or something like that. Then they change the style. So it's planned that you have to buy a new one. So this world is also planned that you have to get a new body. But why? I mean, I keep asking the question, why? I'm telling you what's happening, but still answers the question, why? Well, I'll tell you why. The reason is that we don't belong here. The reason is this material realm is described in the Vedic literatures as the abode or the place where Durga resides. Some of you from Indian background will be familiar with the word Durga. Durga is a pure devotee of Krishna, she's wonderful. And we worship her, no problem. But she is in charge of this material world because this material world is a prison house. Just like if you go to some prison, you have a Suva Central prison here. If the prisoners start asking, why is it so miserable over here? Can it be nice? You know, can't we have some swimming pool? Can they have a swimming pool in the Suva Central? It's probably not. Why can't we have a swimming pool? Why can't we have a bar here? Why can't we have all of these? Because it's a prison! What do you expect? Why can't I have a car? Why can't I have a mobile phone? Why can't I have all these things? It's a prison room. You did something wrong. And you're supposed to be rectified. And then when you're rectified, you can get out. After 50 years, but anyway. Then you can get out. You can become an honest citizen, you can get out. But just about everybody in the prison is saying, I didn't do anything wrong. But why are they there? Right? They're there because they did something. So what did we do wrong to be here? Every single one of us did something wrong. I hate to tell you that. Well, what we did is we decided to be the center. We decided to be God. We wanted to be God. Could be God. So we were originally God conscious in the spiritual realm. And we decided, hey, why should God, why should Krishna be the center? I want to be the center. And therefore we present here. Just like our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, gives the example that sometimes a little girl will see her mother cooking. And she says, I want to cook too. But she's only 5 years old. So you don't give a 5-year-old girl a stove. So you give her a little, let's say a tin replica of a stove, and you give her mud to play with. So that's this world. It's a replica of the spiritual realm, but it's the opposite. Krishna, in the 15th chapter of the Gita, describes this world like a reflection of a tree on water. And you are standing on the bank of the river, and you are looking at that tree being reflected in the water. And as you look at the tree being reflected in the water, you see that the branches are down and the roots are up, upside down. So that's this world. So the world is designed as a place to rectify us. The world is designed as a place to take the criminals and turn them to honest people. So that's why. That's why. Okay, so we get the why right now. Why are we here? Why are we suffering? So then the question is, how do we get out of this suffering condition? That's a very interesting question. Of course, Krishna answers that in many different ways. So let's talk about the happiness. How do you become happy, even in this world? Okay, so there's two types of happiness that one can achieve in this world. One is called spiritual happiness, the other one's called material happiness. There's a problem with material happiness, we'll speak about in a second. So let's talk about material happiness. Material happiness only comes when one is in the mode of goodness. According to the Vedic literatures, there's three modes of material nature, right? Do you think Hare Krishna people know about this? What are the three modes? Ignorance, passion, and goodness. So, happiness in the material world only comes from goodness. That's not complete happiness, it's temporary happiness, it gives you the illusion of happiness, but at least you get some peace for some time. And it's important because to achieve transcendental happiness, you should cultivate the mode of goodness. Okay, so let us describe how to come to the mode of goodness first, before we talk about how to be happy spiritually. One can come to the mode of goodness by cultivating different activities. Now, I wrote some things down here that are very interesting. These are instructions given by a great personality from the Mahabharata. His name is Grandfather Bhishma. Anyone heard of Grandfather Bhishma? Grandfather Bhishma, of course, is the grandfather of the Kuru dynasty. And he, at the end of the Mahabharata, is lying on the bed of arrows. And as he's lying on the bed of arrows, he's doing something that none of us can do, which is give instructions. Because he's being pierced through by these arrows at every point of his body. So Bhishma, the grandfather of Bhishma, Pitamaha, he gave many wonderful instructions, but the instructions I'm going to speak about now are how to come to the mode of goodness. How to be happy in this world. So, first thing he said, and this is perhaps the hardest of all of you, give up anger. Can anyone here give up anger? Okay, can't be happy. Forget about being happy. First, and not only, as I mentioned before, not only this will give you happiness in the material world, but in order to be transcendental, you have to give up anger. So Grandfather Bhishma told us how to give up anger. He actually told us how to cultivate this mood of giving up anger. Forgiveness, he said. One can give up anger by forgiving. That's hard, isn't it? And of course you find this in every religion. For example, let's take the Christian religion, where Lord Jesus Christ is on the cross, and people were putting him there, of course, and instead of cursing him, he said, forgive them, Lord. They know not what they do. And also he said, if someone hits you on one cheek, what do? Does anyone know this? You turn the other cheek. That's hard. But I'm giving you the recipe for becoming happy. Don't you want to be happy? No. Some people like to be miserable. They enjoy their depression. I like to be happy. Because only in the mode of goodness can you actually be happy in this world, and only in the mode of goodness can you transcend from the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness is like an airport. Can you transcend this world? So, is the first recommendation, first prescription, doctor? Very. Okay, write it down on your prescription pad. Rx, don't get angry, forgive everybody. Okay, first thing. The second one, grandmother, these are important principles. Like grandmother, this is also quoted by my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, in the Srimad Bhagavatam report. Second one is, don't lie. And that's easy to tell the truth. It's easy, isn't it? Because one who's actually cultivating spiritual life, such a truthfulness, vijayate, such a param, such a vijayate, being truthful is supremely important. Never lie to anybody. Never cheat. Never steal. That's mode of goodness. Next one he says is don't hoard wealth. Distribute. If you have wealth, help people with it. Don't just keep it for yourself. Next one is, of course, this next one is for people who are married. It says, children, you should have children only with your wife. And that's common sense. But the next one is, you should be pure in your mind and pure in your body. I'm going to explain that a little bit more. Pure in your mind means always thinking of Krishna, always thinking of God. And pure in your body is, of course, clean, cleanliness, and everything like that. So purity is extremely important. That's part of the mode of goodness. Pure in your mind and pure in your body also means eating food in the mode of goodness. As Krishna says in the Gita, there's food in three different modes of nature. Food in the mode of goodness makes you happy. What is food in the mode of goodness? Like vegetables, fruits. Food in the mode of passion makes you unhappy, miserable. Food in the mode of passion is food that is too spicy, too hot, or too much. And then food in the mode of ignorance is food that is putrid, stale, decomposed. Give me an example, doctor. Meat. Like meat. Because it brings down one's conscience of ignorance, and it does not make you happy, but it makes you lethargic, sleepy, lazy, procrastinating. So how can you be happy in such a condition? So that's how you're pure in the body and in the body. The next one is also very difficult to follow, Grandfather Bhishma's instructions, which is don't hate anyone. Love everyone. Krishna himself says this in the Isopanishad. That one who sees everybody is connected with the source, with God, with Krishna, doesn't hate anyone or anything. So this is cultivation of the mode of goodness. To be compassionate with everybody. To love thy neighbor, which is in another Christian expression. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Or in the days it says, to consider others' happiness is more important than your own happiness. The Sanskrit expression is paradhukadhukhi. Next, Grandfather Bhishma says, be simple. In other words, don't try to be too sophisticated, too proud, too opulent. Just be a person, a regular person, and serve Krishna. And the last one he says, and actually there's more injunctions that he gives. He says, you support servants and people who are your subordinates. Now, subordinates means people who are working for you, or people who may not have as high a position in society. Okay, so if you follow those principles, you will be happy in this world. However, there's a problem. I've already described how to be happy in this world. Now I say there's a problem. The problem is that you'll think everything in the world is permanent, and you become complacent if you just cultivate the mode of goodness. We should cultivate the mode of goodness, but if we just cultivate the mode of goodness, that is not sufficient for permanent happiness. Because we will be confused by the sense of temporary happiness. Just like you're here in Fiji, the weather is very nice, and you're thinking, oh, it's beautiful, everything is perfect, there's mangoes, there's papayas, everything is here. And you forget that you're going to get old, you're going to get sick, and you're going to leave this body at one particular juncture. So you can just forget things. Complacency is called. So that's one problem. So how to overcome that sense of complacency? How do you achieve eternal, long-lasting happiness? Of course, Krishna also talks about that too. Ramakutta Prasadatana Sochitina Kamshri Samasarapeshi Pratesh Mahatma. When it comes to what's called the Brahman platform, understanding your real identity. What is your real identity? Does anyone know? Spirit. Your real identity has nothing to do with this body. Like, you young girls are thinking you're young girls. You know, life is so nice. There's that old guy giving the same old philosophy again. And your young man is thinking the same thing. Same thing. However, you're not young girls. And you're not young men. And you're not Rupa Nuga. He's worried. And some of you may think I'm crazy. So, anyway, if you tell a psychiatrist, let's say you go to a psychiatrist and you say, I'm not my body, I'm not a man, I'm not so and so old, the doctor will say, I have some medicine for you. Isn't it? You are crazy. You should be in the mental institution. So, it's called disassociation, psychological type of schizophrenia. So we are prescribing schizophrenia here. So anyway, so we are eternal spirit souls. Krishna says that Jayate Mayate Vagadachanayuva Bhavita Vahapunyama Yomichasuyam Purana Hanyate Hanyamanishu. Right? For the soul is never birth or death. And we can enjoy by spiritual activities. We can enjoy eternally by spiritual activities. We can live in the spiritual world after we leave this material world. How do we do it? How do we become happy now? It says in the Gita that the yogis, they enjoy inside themselves. It's interesting, isn't it? That's a yogi. Internal happiness. Of course, the yogi does everything external and takes and does all the exercises. One interesting thing about yoga, for those of you who need to know, Patanjali, who is the author of the Yoga Sutras, only did one asana. Only one. Nowadays, you have so, I don't want to offend any yogis, but anyway. Who would come up on different systems and different yoga postures. But Patanjali said, the principle or the purpose of yoga, is to stop the vritti, to stop the turning of the mind. So you can focus the mind on Ishvara. He called Krishna or God Ishvara. Ishvara means controller in Sanskrit. So that's Patanjali. So the yogi enjoys internally. So how do we get to that state of enjoying internally? Or being aloof from the practices or the happiness and the stress of this world? Of course, that's another thing Krishna says in the Gita. One of the first lessons he gives in the second chapter of the Gita. Matras Parshas Bhakantiya Siddhus Chidosha Siddhupada Gama Mahayam Nandash Tamsa Dukshishabharata, right? And if you know this verse, something like that. He says, one should tolerate happiness and distress, heat and cold, pleasure and pain, summer and winter, and then one can be happy. So the way we do that is through the principle of, or the principles or practices of bhakti. Bhakti yoga. What we're doing here in our Krishna consciousness movement is bhakti yoga. There's many different yogas. There's Hatha Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Kundalini Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. And Krishna in the Gita tells us which yoga he likes best. The end of the sixth chapter. Anyone know the verse? No. Yoginam what? Abhi? What's the rest? Madhatem Antaratmana? What's the rest? Sadam Bhajate Yomam Sama Yukatma Matana. He says of all these different yogis, because yoga means connection. You have the English word yoke, which comes from yuj, which is the root of the Sanskrit word yoga. So yoga means to connect yourself with the absolute. So yoginam api sarvesham. He says of all the yogis, sarvesham means all. Matvateyam Radhana. Those who are actually focused on God, Krishna. Magyate Antaratmana. With faith, Shradhan. Vajate. So, Sami Yukma. I consider to be the best. So, Krishna himself tells us which yoga system he prefers. He doesn't say you can't do the other things, he just says this is the best. Because he talks about it, potentially also talks about the yoga ladder. And the topmost rung of the yoga ladder is Bhakti Yoga. So what is Bhakti Yoga exactly? Bhakti Yoga is a very simple process of hearing and chanting about Krishna. That's why our movement is called the what? Hare Krishna movement? You heard about that before? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram 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 Ram. Which basically means that we are chanting God's names. But it is non-denominational. One can chant any of God's, any of Krishna's names in any religion, whether it is Allah or Jehovah or Yahweh, or even the word God, or Christo, by chanting God's names, Krishna, God, is non-different, the same as his name. And in all the scriptures of the world, whatever religion you're talking about, this is recommended. Krishna's scriptures, it recommends that one should chant the names of God with symbols, like Cortez. And we have the same thing, Harinam, 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 in Kevala. Hello, Vishneva, 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 Gautama, Nishan. In this age of color, the method is chanting God's holy names. And that is the topmost yoga. Right there. Chanting God's names. And also cultivating these principles of human life, which I gave before Grandfather Vinny talked about. By doing that, you can achieve a status called Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta means you're in this world and you're happy, you're liberated. Liberated from the three obligations which we talked about. Right? Adiyatmik, Adibodhik, Adidayak, misery from the living entities, misery from the material nature, misery from your own body and mind. Simply by doing a simple procedure, it is very easy. And so that gives us ultimate happiness. Manjiyo Yavichanaya Bhakti Yoga Sikhataya. Sadhanan Samati Jayatan Brahma Uyaya. Helpful. One overcomes the modes of nature and is situated in Brahman. And we realize our eternal nature, it's Sat, Chit. What else? Ananda. Is that nice? You are eternal. You are a spirit soul. You live forever. You're always young. Pretty cool. Pretty nice. You're always young. You're full of knowledge. And you're always full of bliss. Always full of happiness. And that's what we want. We want to be happy. Of course, Achieving that state also means that you satisfy your normal human needs. Not that we advocate someone going to the Himalayas and just sitting in the Himalayas and just chanting, but you have normal human needs like food, air, light, friendship, autonomy. All these things that you can be fulfilled, but ultimately the need for self-realization, self-actualization, spirituality, having a purpose in life, a reason for living, that's the most important thing. And giving yourself eternal life, purpose, and knowledge. So, I think that's all I wanted to talk about today. So that's happiness. How to achieve happiness, why we're not happy, why the material world is the way it is, in a nutshell, of course, there's a lot more information you can find in the Vedic literatures about these things. Everything I've said is based on Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Upanishads, and other Vedic literatures. So, any questions does anyone have, or are we just time for RT, or maybe we're in the middle of RT? Questions? Any of the young boys or young girls? We're all young. Questions? Nobody has any questions or comments? Doctor?
Just a comment on that.
Yeah.
Part of the making more of goodness, if we move towards making others happy, then we also make them satisfied.
Yes, that's actually what I said. That was actually one of Bhishma's principles. To be more concerned with others' happiness or others' welfare than yourself. That's part of the mode of goodness. To serve others. More blessed to serve than to be served. To always be thinking of others' happiness. That's the mode of goodness. And if these things are absolutely required. I know it's very hard, but if we want to be happy, even in this world, as I mentioned before, these things are absolutely required. To control your anger, to not lie, to think of others. Hard, isn't it? Hard. Edgy. Girls are impossible. But you can do it. You can do it. It's a, of course, you may get angry, but you should control it. Control it means you don't express it improperly. And if you get angry, take a walk. Take a walk before you say anything. Take a walk before you send an email. Take a walk before you text anybody. Because they all understand it's texting or anything like that. And then in 2 hours, you'll just erase the email, erase the text. But once you send it, you can't erase it. It's gone forever. So just, everybody can get angry, but you can control it at a certain point. You have like Krishna gives the example in the Gita, that one controls the higher self, controls the lower self, but the higher self. We have the mind, but we also have the intelligence. Of course, there's this, the grosser material elements of Pancha Mahabhuta, earth, water, fire, water, ether. And there's also mind, intelligence, and ego. So the intelligence is able to discriminate in terms of our long-term self-interest. The mind is just reactive. In other words, the mind will say, I'm angry. I'm hungry. Eat. Sleep. Kill. That's the mind. But the intelligence will say no or yes, depending upon whether it's productive for one's spiritual progress. So that's how you control it. You think, will this help me progress spiritually? Will this please Krishna? Will this please my spiritual master if I do this? And if the answer is no, just like we have so many impulses. Like if you're driving a car, you want to drive fast, right? Some of you can drive fast. But now they've installed these speed cameras here. Just like I was with one devotee the other day, and normally he drives very fast. And he was slowing down. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, now they've installed speed cameras. So he controlled his impulses because he didn't want to get caught. You understand? So that's the mind. The mind wants to speed, intelligence knows you'll get caught. Oh, another point about being happy in the world, I just one other thing I forgot, is that there is one of the causes of our unhappiness is bad karma. That's one thing we left out. So you have to be careful about doing things that are karmically bad. Which is, as Bhishma described, being cruel to someone else, killing other creatures, harming other creatures, things like that, taking intoxication, all these things are karmically bad. So when you avoid that, and you do things that are good, there's more chance of happiness. Okay? All right, doctor?
All right.
Thank you very much. All glories, we're going to have end of our tea right now. All glories to His Divine Creation, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.
She could sing in Bhavan Chandra.